Blog Talk Radio.
The Epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Philippians. Philippians 1.
Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of good will. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which ye saw in me, and now here to be in me.
1 Peter 1:9. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We thank you for God's word. Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is Deacon Thomas Farr, and you are listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. Today is Saturday, the 30th of March, 2019. We are one-fourth of the way through the new year. We got the first quarter out of the way, first 90 days. So now we're going to begin to now this opportunity. We're out of winter. Spring is breaking around the country here in Baltimore, D.C. area. They got the world-famous cherry blossoms coming out, and spring and grass is growing in the front yard. Soon the leaves will be back on the trees. So this is an opportunity for us as the body of Christ to come out of our hibernation, come out of the four walls and reach the community, reach the Lord. So I'll encourage you as we begin in the spring season, this new season of life, let's begin to plan, begin to think, begin to meditate on, begin to pray that we will reach this culture with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. I just want to start there and stir up the spirit. We are called to reach the lost, to compel them to come and to minister to those who, through the love of Christ, to be able to minister to the lost, the broken, the least of these, those that are forgotten, those that are in need spiritually, physically, and emotionally. And we are to get out outside of that's the four walls, the physical four walls, and also our mental four walls, that we're reaching someone else, that we're reaching the lost for Christ. No matter what, how long we've been saved, we just got saved, we just came to Christ, we just came to the faith, or we've been saved for the last 30 years, and we are Holy Ghost filled on fire, baptized, but yet, when was the last time we shared the gospel with someone who's in our circle who needs to hear the gospel? Or is our circle just filled with other saints just like us, and we're content and happy? Because there's no contentment. Again, Christ gave his life. The apostles gave their lives for the gospel, to spread the gospel. And what are we doing in this culture today to reach the lost? Because all the things that are going on today have to do with sin. It's a sin issue. It's not a political issue. It's not a sexual issue. It's sin. It's immorality and sin in the hearts of men, that only through the gospel of Jesus Christ can things be changed and maintained. And yet the Holy Spirit, even in the midst, the Holy Spirit can reach people, can minister to people, and heal people. So we're called as ambassadors of Christ to reach them. Amen. We're open with prayer. We're going to get right into a conversation today. Father God, we say thank you again, Lord. Father, we humbly come before you, Lord God. Father, we know, God, that humility, our humility, God, that we don't have it all together, that we know that you are king and ruler, because you know, we know, we remember what you delivered us from. So now we don't look down on anyone, or have condemnation for anyone in their sin, but yet we pray. So, Father, keep us humble, that God might, that the world might see Christ in us, oh God, and Christ might speak, that Christ might be seen in me, God, and in my brothers, oh God. Father, continue to use us, continue to bless us, cover us, protect us, oh God, as we do your work, oh God, as we fulfill the purpose and plan that you've given us in this life, God, because every man has a purpose why they were created. Continue to bless us and keep us. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Amen, amen. Well, again, brothers, to let you know, we're ready. It's up and going. We have the online registration set up, Man Up 2019, Privileges and Responsibility of God's Man, for Saturday, April the 27th, 2019, from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. We're going to be gathering at the Brooklyn Park Library in Baltimore, Maryland. It's 1 East 11th Avenue in Baltimore, Maryland. We're going to gather there again at 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. The doors are going to open at 9:30. We're requesting a $20 donation. And this is an opportunity. Let me share this with the brothers. I know we have men out there who listen, who are alumni, who have been to previous events, and they can testify that this is going to be a time of fellowship, open and transparent discussion, trying to find solutions from God's word, and also how to apply the word to our lives. This is what we gather about, amen. There's not going to be any sermons. Well, we used to call it a couple of years ago, we called it a sermon-free zone, because we're going to engage each other. We're going to talk to each other. We're going to hear the wisdom that's in the room, that we might encourage one another. We're also going to be sharing lunch and also toolboxes. We always send men home with tools so they can tweak their life, take something that they was heard in the room, take it home, meditate on it, tweak their lives a little bit, tune up their lives. You know, we all need to tune up our cars, to fix our houses, do some interior work, some exterior work, you know, get our cars detailed. So we want to get our minds and our hearts detailed. We want to get our souls ready for the return of Jesus Christ. So, again, that's going to be on Saturday, April the 27th, from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Online registration, again, is open. It opened up this week. You can email us at rejoicetv@gmail.com. Email us at rejoicetv@gmail.com. Reach out to us on Facebook at Issues Christian Men's Talk on the Facebook page. Inbox us there with your email. We can email you the link for registration. And also, you can call 443-591-3504. That's 443-591-3504. We'll get you the link, get you registered online, and reach out to us. Also, we're on Twitter at Issues Men's Talk on Twitter. You can send us a tweet message there. And we just want to encourage you to come on out. And again, also for my brothers, again, my alumni, those who supported us in the past, we're asking this year that you would bring one other brother with you. Bring one brother who's never been before. Invite them, sponsor them, whatever it takes. Or even, you know, if you can't do it, reach out to us. We have scholarships in place. We have one brother. You're not in checkmate, Brother Jonathan Morris. He set up some scholarships for men who can't afford it, who may not be working or there's some financial situation. Because for some people, again, we don't take anything for granted, because for some folk, $20 may be a lot. But we have brothers out here who are sponsored, is going to cover the cost and pay that price that a man can be blessed. Amen? Amen. 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 Well, we're going to get the conversation today. But Elder Mark, good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm blessed, sir. I'm blessed. How about yourself?
I'm doing very well. I'm excited. I'm energetic. I'm wide awake. Springtime is out here. It was 70-something. I think it was 75 yesterday. It's supposed to get another 70 today. So I'm hitting the streets. I'm going to do something for God today. Whatever he's got planned. I'm not sure yet. But something's going to happen.
Amen.
And we're going to be used by God. How about that?
Amen.
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 Amen. Real quick, brother, share your ministry. Tell us what's going on over there at New Vision before we get started. Give a shout-out to the apostle.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you. Yes, sir. As Deacon Floyd said, shout-out to the ministry, New Vision for Life Church in Woodlawn, Maryland. We're located at 1724 Woodlawn Drive, suite number 2. Our fellowship times, we have our Wednesday night Bible study at 6:30, prayer starting at 6:30 and moving into our Bible study at 7, and we're there 7 to 8 p.m. And then on Sunday morning, we have our discipleship starting at 9:30 and our regular worship service starting at 11 o'clock. Come out and worship with us. The men, or we're moving there for to building up the men's ministry. We have awesome children's ministry there for your children to be blessed and have their own time of fellowship. We just encourage you and just being blessed, hoping that we can spread out from the Woodlawn area to bless the people in the area. If you're close, nearby, if you want to travel, we're always open. The doors are open to a family environment, a small ministry that will allow you to be blessed, to be taught, and to learn. It's something I've been a part of for going on 10 years, my wife and I now, and I was blessed to meet Apostle in a time that I was going through some health issues. The church I was attending, I didn't feel a connection, but Apostle was there. When I woke up out of pain medicine, she was there. I felt a need to, a desire to visit her church, and once I visited for the first time, I haven't left, and like I said, it's been 10 years now, and that truly has been my family and been my blessing. So I encourage you to come out. If you're looking for a place to just the fellowship or looking for a church home, New Vision for Life Church is a place for you to come and join. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I see
amen. 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 Amen, brother. Amen. Well, I encourage you to reach out to the brothers there. And, I mean, reach out there at New Vision if you're in the Woodlawn, Baltimore area. And let me give a shout-out for my church, the Jesus Lives Ministry. Pastor is the Pastor George Sharps. We're located in Hanover, Maryland. 7466 New Ridge Road in Glen Burnie, Maryland. So you can go also, we have a website, www.jesuslivesministries.org. You can reach out there and contact you. And we encourage you to find a church home. Visit us, find a church that's a Bible teaching, Bible preaching, Bible believing church that you might be able to grow. And I say this to any man, anybody out there, any man. If you're not growing, if you're not being taught in your church, because there's a lot of things out there going on in what is called the gathering in churches and congregations, you have a responsibility. You have a responsibility to go word. If the word of God is not being taught, the word of God is not being discerned and taught to encourage you to be able to stand and be able to shepherd and lead your home. You need to find a church that is. I'm not going to indict any church, but every person is going to be responsible because we're all going to stand before God. So you might be in a church because of whatever reason, but if you're not growing, learning, and being used by God, if you're not learning to be part of ministry, well, let me say it like this: how long can you be a consumer or are you bringing something to it? Are you being a participant? There's a difference between being a consumer and being a participant, because, again, God has created every man, especially every man, for a purpose, direction, and vision. And if you don't have that as the Word of God and the Holy Spirit is not leading you to be used by Him, there's a problem. First, say you need to check yourself, then check out who's in your circle. What church are you part of? What is your church doing to get outside the four walls? Because there's a lot of churches out there, quote-unquote churches, who are just keeping gathering people, gathering up in barns and never go out. As long as you're in here, you're good. We want to keep everybody else, keep them out. Amen. I'll leave that right there. Let the Holy Spirit work on you. But amen, amen. Well, bro, today, we're gonna get back on track, because I don't want to go down the rabbit trail. Amen. Amen. Well, today we're gonna talk about spiritual victory. We're gonna talk about spiritual victory. Come on, bro, you gotta keep me straight, man. You gotta hold me accountable.
I am. That's why I let you go sometimes.
Oh, that's what it is? Okay, got it. Amen. But today we're gonna talk about spiritual victory. Go ahead.
I was getting ready to say, because sometimes when we go off with a beaten path, sometimes the path that we need to go down, somebody needs to hear it. It might step on some toes, but some toes can get bandaged up, because we may need to move to a different place.
Okay, amen. We're gonna leave that there. But today I'm gonna touch on just a point and encourage the brothers out there that you are. If you're a man of God, if you're a godly man, if you believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you are victorious. We are already victorious. I think that's the first thing a lot of us have to believe, especially if you're a new convert or if you've been saved a while and you're struggling, that you are victorious. So we're going to share today some principles that we're going to build, that our faith should be built on, and understand that we are victorious. Christ is won. We're here because when Christ returns, He wants to bring as many of His people with Him in His return. So we have to know, who we are. It's like anything else. Who are you? And Jesus asked His disciples, who do men say that He is? You know, so we have to know that we are already victorious and just understand that and walk in our victory. We don't walk around like we're broken and busted and disgusted. We have no hope, because our circumstances don't define who we are in God. I just want somebody and one brother out there to understand that. Our circumstances, our struggles, our temptations, our trials does not define who we are in God. It's how God is using to perfect us, that our faith is going to keep us through, that sometimes our faith and love are the two things. The only way they grow and become strong is if they are tested. And is your faith strong enough to endure your trials and temptations and struggles? There's a song out that says, you know, my fears, my God is bigger than my fears. My God is bigger than my troubles. But again, this life, everything we have is not about this life. As believers, as men of God, we have a future and we have an inheritance. Amen. But we're going to start with, I'm going to come to you first, brother. I'm going to let you elaborate on some of these things, on some we're going to touch on. But let me go to this and start off. I'm going to start off with a scripture, because we have to understand that Christ is in control. He's in control of our attitudes and answers. If we are men of God, if we're believers in Christ Jesus, Christ is in control. Because when we say Lord and Savior, that word Lord is a big word. We use it sometimes, but we don't understand what the power and what that really means when we say that He is Lord. Savior is easy, but when He's Lord, and that's when we know we reach real maturity. But let me go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. We go over to verses 3-5. So the Word God says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. We as men of God, we have to know that God is in control. It's a spiritual battle. It's not a battle like we used to fight on the street or whatever, our conflicts, hand-to-hand fighting, brothers was in the military. It's a spiritual battle. We have to understand, first of all, we're victorious as long as we are obedient to the things of God, and we're obedient and we feed on his word and obey his principles every day. And this is an everyday thing. That's why our superficial Christians, our false salvation, false conversions, This is where we see the weakness. That are we giving every thought, every moment of our life under the obedience of Christ, and we are we feeding on his word and obeying his principles? What do you say, brother?
Now, every day we're tested. Every day we go through something, and I myself, we all go through something. And as we're tested, we have to depend and know that God is in control. The hardest thing to do when you are dealing with a situation, looking at a situation, is to give up. Is to give up control in the situation, and that's what our faith is: allowing God, because God is a gentleman. God's not going to take anything from you or push you into anything that you're not willing for Him to take control of. And in faith, in our faith, we have to understand that God is in control, and He made us victorious. But the problem is, so many times we're trying to pick the situation up to fix it so we can see it the way we think we want to see it. I even myself in this past week were dealing with some major issues financially, being transparent, some issues financially. Things happened that I just wasn't prepared for. And I started trying to find ways to fix it. Then I had to slow myself down, and my wife and I began to pray with authority, knowing that as we pray with authority, we could command the situation with the word of God, using the word of God, commanding what God said, God's promises, and depend upon God, knowing that He is that rock, that He is our strong tower, that He, the one that provides, He is Jehovah, that He is everything that we need. And so many times it's hard to deal with it because in the midst of the test, it's like, God, where are you? What's going on? Why am I going through all of this? The word tells us that we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. That means we're prepared, we're set aside, we're made for suffering, we're made to go through things so that people can see the power of God. And that suffering isn't that we're going to be hurt, we're going to be beat down. It's not that. It's that we're going through issues that we're made for, we're made strong enough for. That's why the word says that He'll never leave us nor forsake us, and He'll never put anything on us that we cannot handle. We all have a cross to bear, just as Christ, when He was on the cross, said, "Look, God, take this cup from me, but if it be thy will, I will take it. I will do it." We all question, God, why am I going through this? What's going on? Why am I being tested like this? And you look around and you're like, God, you're not answering me. You're not talking to me. Something I just realized and something I realized and had to truly apply to my life and understand that during the test, the teacher is quiet. That's when the teacher is the most quiet, is during the test, until you reach up and say, hey, I need an answer here. I need some help with this. Can you explain this question for me so I can move on to the next step, so I can understand, so I can give the answers or move forward in this test the way I should? I need an answer here. But during the test, the teacher is quiet. During the test, God is quiet because he wants you to depend on Him, and He wants you to move forward on what He's shown you, the strength that He's placed in you. That's what we're not warring just against flesh. It's a spiritual battle. And if we're trying to move on things in a carnal understanding, we'll never get past the test. That's why we have to depend upon God and depend upon His word and know that we are victorious in all things, that we are more than conquerors. All that sounds cliche, but when you apply it, your outlook, your vision, the things you see is totally different than what the flesh puts in your face. It's totally different to look from a spiritual eye and see that God has everything in line for you. Back to you, sir.
Amen, amen. You're absolutely right, bro. You're absolutely right. We have to remember, you know, it, as men of God, we have to remember that Satan is defeated. He's defeated foe. He stood against God. He tried to tempt God in the wilderness as we read in the Gospels. But then we have to understand that he's defeated. It's done. He's lost. And what we're going through now is we have to tell everybody who Christ is. I want to go to 1 John. 1 John chapter 3. And I'm going to verse 8. Because I just want to encourage you from the word as we have the discussion, as we continue to reason this thing out and think it out. Because I do also want you to take the word and plant it in your heart to understand who you are as men of God. That this is spiritual victory we're talking about. So we're going to 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, and it says, "He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil." So let me say this, so even those who are unbelieving or young Christians or people who may not be non-Christians, the devil is real. The devil is not a facade, not a joke, not a character. I mean, some of us who've been in church a while know this, but I think for the unbeliever or the new convert, understand that the devil is real. He's a spiritual being. He has power, and because he is the prince of this world, as the scripture teaches. I advise you right now, any Christian out there, start to use the word of God and study who Satan, the enemy, the devil is. And understand that he is real. Jesus talked about him. Jesus confronted him. But the word of God also tells us that Jesus came to manifest in this earth as a man, and to live, to die, and to be resurrected, that Satan might be defeated. Because the only weapon that Satan has is death, and the fear of death. That's what he gets a lot of people, the fear of death. And that's what it is. That's a lot of what it is. But we have to understand that Satan is defeated, that Christ has come to manifest and bring us back into right relationship and reconcile us back to a living God, that we're protected, that the devil can't do nothing to us without God's permission. And then I wanted to say what the brother was saying. You know, the struggles and tests and the things that we go through, they're there for us to be able to share and encourage someone else. Because one of the things I always say here, Issues Christian Men's Talk, or even when we do our man-up gatherings, the same thing that we went through could have killed and broke somebody. But we survived it because of God. And because God wanted us to be able to tell someone, encourage someone else coming along behind us or beside us. Because some of the things we did, even from our childhood, the little things we took for granted, it wasn't a big deal. And somebody else, it would have killed them. You know, I think about this when I think about and I hear about these young people struggling with being bullied. You know, I have a lot of different things about it. I had kids who grew up in public school and in the neighborhood and stuff. But the bullying thing is something that is something about that these kids that, again, we all of us may have survived some form of bullying back in the day. But we handle it differently. The culture looks at it differently. Because back then, I can tell you right now, I'll be clear and transparent with it. Bullying only happened when someone didn't fight back. That's the way I was raised. I'm sorry. Forgive me, pastors, elders, deacons out there, apostles. But when I was raised, you fought back. Somebody picked on you, and then you had to punch somebody in the face. But since we don't want to raise our children that way, apparently, now we have to be, we're not doing nothing on the other end, that now children are, young children are committing suicide. And that is a trick of the enemy. That's the enemy cutting off a seed, cutting off a generation. By just these little things. So that's what I say about the things we went through that God brought us through. We have to have a testimony and share and encourage, because that same thing could have killed somebody else. Sometimes physically, sometimes emotionally, sometimes psychologically, because we have a whole thing going on now with mental health, because people can't deal with. Sometimes it's just simple as failure. They can't deal with criticism. They can't rebound back from you know, things not going our way, because somehow we're raising a generation of people who think everything's supposed to go their way, and if it doesn't, they vapor lock in their minds, and they can't get over it and get past it. But they have no foundation to be able to catapult themselves forward. I think that's what I want to say. Then our foundation as men of God, as people of God, is to have the Word of God and have Christ as our foundation to keep catapulting us forward, even when we challenged and failed, and thereby making us stronger. And again, it's to encourage one another. So we have to remember that Satan is defeated, and tell everybody we know who he is and that he has no power and no victory in Christ Jesus. And I mean, even in evangelism, we have to find a way to let people know, no matter what's going on with you, God loves you, God has a plan for you, and God can help you get through. He may not take, he may not deliver you out of everything, because that's sometimes we get caught up in that, that if you get saved, everything's going to be okay. That's not necessarily true, because, again, it's God's will for our lives. Because, again, the things we go through is not necessarily for us. It's for someone else to come behind us. Amen? Amen. I'm going to go to my next point I want to talk to again. We have to remember the power of Christ, the power of God in our lives. Who is in us? Who is living inside us? As believers, as men of God, our spiritual victory is remembering the power of God. The scripture says, greater is he who is in me than he is in the world. And that goes back to this defeat of Satan and God dwelling in us. You know, I don't want to get too theological about it, but you can't have Satan, you can't be obedient to Satan and obedient to God at the same time. Simple as that. The Bible talks about serving two masters. So if you are a man of God, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, now you are submitted and you are obedient to God and what he teaches, because God seeks our obedience. What do you say, brother?
Believing in the power of Christ, believing that power is within you, being able to withstand. Question. How many of us have gone through a situation that we can't explain how we made it through? We've gone through some things that we know by ourselves were more than we could handle. There's some things that, as men, we have to admit would have truly broken us, that we were on the verge of being broken in it. But somewhere along the line, we made it through. That's the strength of Christ within you. That's the strength of God within you. When you prayed and said, Lord God, I don't know what else to do. I don't know how else to move. Some of us didn't even know to pray, but somebody was praying for us. Somebody talked to God on our behalf about our situation, about our life. Maybe it was your grandmother. Maybe it was your mother. Maybe it was your brother. Maybe it was your father. Somebody around prayed for you. Maybe it's somebody you didn't even know that just heard, that just put in their spirit to lift you up, to pray for you. Somebody that may have woke up in the middle of the night to pray over the name, to pray over your name, to pray over your situation. But that's the strength of God within us. That's what comes about within us. We have a power within us that we can't explain, that we don't understand sometimes, and that we don't even know to apply to our situations. But we've made it through because of that power within us, because of that strength. I know for me, there's plenty of things I can't explain how I made it through. There's plenty of miracles in my health issues that I can't explain. And the only thing, and that's why my faith is stronger, because I know I made it by the grace of God. Miracles I know that people can't explain, that the doctors cannot explain. A quick testimony, I probably may have shared it before, but I passed out one day. I woke up in the hospital. I was told I had a brain tumor. The same doctor that told me, came in the room, told me that this was an inoperable brain tumor, it was an 80% chance I'd die on the table if they tried to operate, to remove this thing. And if they didn't operate, it would just be something where every once in a while I could just pass out and not know. No control. I wouldn't be able to drive. I wouldn't be able to do things because I could just pass out. I was distraught, didn't know what to do. I called my pastor and told her what was going on. She came to the hospital. She sat beside my bed and prayed with me. Less than 24 hours, that same doctor that came in and told me, that basically gave me my death sentence, came in and said, Mr. Garnes, I don't have an understanding. I don't know how to explain this, but tests don't show this brain tumor. It's gone now. It's no longer there. What else could I explain other than the strength of God within my body, within me, the prayer to remove that thing from me? For a testimony to tell somebody else, look, God can do miraculous things in your life. That's the strength of God within you. That's the strength of Christ That's the power of God, to do things miraculous. So not only that someone else can see the power of God, but you can look back upon your life and say, you know what, God, you pulled me through this, so I know you can get me through this next thing. I know you can get me through this situation I'm dealing with right now. I know you can take me beyond this place where my finances are falling apart. I know you can take me beyond this place where the world says I'm not going to make it, where the doctor's diagnosis says I'm going to die. I know you can take me past this place where my relationship, where my wife and I, where we're looking at divorce. I know you can show me more. I know you have more for me. That's the strength of Christ. That's the strength of God. That's the power of God. That's beyond our flesh and our carnal understanding. That's a spiritual growth, a spiritual level of change in your life that comes from a test. And that truly is what testimony means. But that is the strength of God, and that is of God, and that is what we must depend upon. That is what we must see is within us, that there's nothing that God cannot do, whether it's a simple move, whether it's a miraculous move, but God moves on our behalf each and every day. And that's what we have to realize, and that's what we have to see. There's something that you may not understand or may not realize how I made it through. That was God moving on your behalf. Back to you, sir.
Amen, amen. You are listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. We're here every Monday night at 8 p.m., every Thursday night at 8 p.m., and on Saturday mornings at 9 a.m., discussing the issues, looking for solutions for the problems that men deal with as husbands, fathers, and sons, as we lead in the home, in the church, and in the community. So I just want to encourage you to join us every Monday, Thursday, or Saturday. Those of you who listen online who called in at 646-668-2636, you press 1 on your keypad. I appreciate you calling in. If you want to share your insight, have something with some wisdom, had a question, just press 1 on your phone, and we can bring you into the conversation. All those at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr, we thank you for listening in today and joining us. Also, we encourage you, if you can switch to your phone and call in, you can come and share insights. You still could be able to hear the show on the phone, but then you can also talk with us. Amen. Amen. Well, I know your testimony, and I heard it, and I wanted to touch on something you said about the prayer. And I think prayer is also one of our principles of spiritual victory. Are we men of prayer? We have to each judge ourselves in our level of prayer. You know, some people pray for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes. People go into what they used to call it back in the day, tarrying and hours and what, you know, that's all that is whatever, wherever you are, or whatever you need. But we have to understand, are we men of sincere, deep prayer, and seeking God for answers, guidance, directions, for encouragement, for strength, or for just for wisdom to stand? That we are we praying for His will to be done? And are you matured past the Santa Claus prayers? Gimme, 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 gimme. Or God, what will you, or do you pray, God, what will you have me to do? And I think that's one of the things we have to be as men. We have to grow up and understand. It's God's will. And are we praying that God will lead us? And that also, the prayer is, it unleashes the power. Again, it's the power of Christ, the same power that raised Christ from the dead, same power was used to defeat the Satan. It's that same power that's in us. That Holy Spirit is living within us. If you are a believer, if you are a man of faith, if you have a true conversion, a saving faith, this is the power we have and that we know. And prayer is one of our very strong spiritual weapons and pillars that we use to be able to maintain and keep going and grow in God. Remember, we are born again believers, and we are destined to grow, to come into His likeness, and to be salt and light on the earth. We can't be complacent. We can't be take things for granted. And I pray to God that we are not superficial in our walk, because again, the enemy is coming. The enemy is going to do some things in your house, and he's going to do some things in you. He's going to do some things in the people around you, because again, a man's life has a ripple effect to other people's lives that he doesn't even see. You remember the metaphor we use, you know, you throw a stone into a lake and it ripples through, the farther it goes out, the less you can recognize it, but it still has an effect that we can't see under the surface and in the water. The same thing at the men of God. When we rise, when we lift up Christ, it has a ripple effect. There's people watching us, don't even know. Our children, our family members, those who have known us, they're watching. And when we fall, there's a ripple effect for that also. So we have to be a man on guard and understand our spiritual victory. And I believe prayer is one of the things we have to remember. We have to be fervent men of prayer. We have to be passionate men of prayer. Prayer is how God speaks to us. I mean, we have to hear from God also to give us direction and guidance. And through his word, you know, I learned a long time ago. I can't remember it was a teaching I was in or it was just the people I was around at the time. To know the will of God for your life is in Scripture. The word of God in the 66 books is the will of God for your life. And God is going to guide you and direct you if you're obedient. Remember, God looks for obedience and faithfulness. That's what he's looking for, that you'll stand before him and be judged on everything in your life. Amen? What do you say, sir? I know you shared about prayer, but it's something you want to add to that, because I believe that prayer and then seeking God and being able to hear God and be obedient to his direction, even when it's contrary to your emotions and your feelings, is an important thing for a man. What do you say, sir?
You know, I pray a lot. I believe prayer changes our understanding, changes the situation. But I was talking to a brother, and he said, man, I can't pray like you. I said, prayer isn't about how you pray and your ability to use scripture or to speak out. Prayer is a simple conversation with God. But the word, the precedent, the word that has precedence there is conversation, that you are willing to converse with God. See, that's not that you're just going to sit down and say, God, I need, and then walk away. This is where you're conversing with God, where you're talking to God, and you're giving God the opportunity to speak back unto you, and then listening with an open mind and open heart to hear. Because sometimes when we pray for things, God gives us the answer, but we have to understand it may not be the answer we want to hear. Sometimes when we're praying for things to change right then and there, God's not moving the way we want him to, because there's something else he wants for us to see in it. I was blessed by a brother I'm with every day, working with every day. He also attends the church I attend, and I just give a shout-out to him, a young brother, Troy. Troy Linton, a very, very, very awesome dude, awesome guy. He's going through some things just like I'm going through some things. But he shared something with me, and it said we go through sometimes we're asking God to change the situation, not knowing that God placed us in the situation to change us. But see, we have to understand that as we're going through, as we're praying, we have to talk to God. And it's not about having some complexity to understand. We don't have to have this complex hour-long prayer or recited prayer. We just have to simply know that we're talking to God and God hears us. Something simple is saying, Lord God, I need you. It's praying. It doesn't have to be that you can say all the different words and understand all these things. That your prayer is just as powerful as a person who's been praying for years and prays the fervent prayer. Truly, as a man, just understand that almost that adolescent prayer, for lack of any term, the prayer that's just a simple prayer of, Lord God, I need you. Lord God, I want to serve you. Lord God, I'm calling for you, means just as much to our God as one who can pray with all of the words in the dictionary, who can pray with every scripture throughout the Bible. When you pray with belief that God hears you and you listen for God to speak back unto you and to give you guidance in the situation, no matter how you pray, no matter how long you pray, God still hears. And God still answers. Back to you, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen. 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 You know, and I want to, again, I want to continue to move on, but I mean, these are the things, again, we're talking about spiritual victory today, and we have to be able to, some of these things, we have to apply it, because even as we share today, as we talk about it, I encourage every brother out there, seek to start to want to apply what you hear on the broadcast, what you hear in your sermons on Sunday, what you hear, again, we have to start to apply the word of God. You know, the brother said about prayer. You understand that prayer starts. It starts with your heart, a humble heart, knowing that you're a sinner and you're in need of a Savior, knowing that you need God, knowing that God is for you, that you are secure, that you are victorious. And God, what are you going to do in this situation? Not what am I going to do, but God, what are you going to do in my situation? God, how do you want to use me? These are our prayers. And this is where we have to grow to. And this is where we encourage the brothers that we are, you know, again. And our prayer helps, because even though in that we have to remember, we have to resist the devil. Because the devil's not going anywhere. Even though we pray, the devil is still coming at us. He wants to get us in our prayer time. He wants to get us before our prayer time. He wants to get us right after we say amen, something to come. So the enemy, we have to learn to resist the enemy and be faithful to the things of God. And no matter what, don't think at any time we're safe. And I'm going to talk about our spiritual armor on, the full armor of God on at all times, because we are in a spiritual battle. You don't see anybody taking off their armor, their uniform in the midst of a battle. And then I'll even break it down. You don't see football players going in the middle of the game, in the middle of a play, throwing off their helmet, throwing off their shoulder pads, and just keep on playing. You don't see people taking their uniforms off, whatever sport your sport is. You don't see people taking off. You don't see track runners starting to put on sweats and their hoodies and their jogging suits to run a race. They strip down. So it's the same thing in the spiritual realm. We have to keep our armor on at all times, spiritual armor on. We can't take it for granted. We can't give the enemy away a foothold, because once he gets a foothold, he's going to destroy us. This is, again, this is his plan. This is his purpose, is to kill us. And we have to keep our full armor on at all times. We have to be covered. We have to be able to stand in the midst of it all and keep the armor on. I'm going to go real quick to Ephesians, because I just want to encourage someone out. The armor, we must keep our armor on. We must stay fully dressed. And I think that's part of it. And just to be, remember, we are victorious, but we cannot be victorious if we drop our shield, our faith. That's the first one I think of all the time, because our faith protects us, knowing that God is in control. It goes back to what we said earlier. Our faith in Christ, our faith in God, and faith in who Jesus Christ is and what he's done on the cross, that we're already victorious, is going to protect us no matter what the enemy throws at us. We use our shield of faith to be able to defend ourselves against anything the enemy throws at us, because we know God is in control. And none of these things that God, that the sin is trying to do to us, put into our lives, is going to destroy us or hurt us if we stand behind our faith, because our faith is a shield. Amen? So don't be foolish, brothers. Don't be complacent. Don't be arrogant or prideful to think that you're going to stand toe-to-toe with the enemy. That's some old Pentecostal stuff back in the day. I'm not going to go there right now, but we're in Christ. And we go by the word of God, and the word of God is our shield of faith. It's going to resist the fiery darts that the enemy throws at us, trying to kill us and destroy us. What do you say, sir, the importance of the full armor of God? Uh-oh, I lost you. Oh, I think I dropped him. As we get live, we do live.
I'm here.
Oh,
I'm here.
amen. I thought I lost that, so we had a technical glitch here. I'm checking my switchboard. Amen.
We did for a second, but the technical difficulty was on my side. Somehow my phone had gone to mute.
Oh, all right. Well, we're here. We're live. What do you say, bro? Sir. Spiritual warfare, the full armor.
The full armor of God. Ephesians 6, it says, therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all to stand. Having girded up your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet in the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking up the shield of faith, which is with you. With which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to the end with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. The helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, the shoes of the gospel, and your waist girded up with truth. All of those things are part of the armor of God. Your full body protected. Like Deacon said, you can't go into any battle not armed up. You don't go into anything not wearing the right. You don't go into anything not wearing the right thing. You don't go outside in the cold not dressed the right way, because if not, you know you're going to get sick. You don't go into anything not wearing the protection you need. We know every day we're going to be tried. Every day we're going to be tested. Every day we're bombarded. But wearing the full armor of God is your protection that God provides for you. That's why it's his provisions for you. The helmet of salvation that protects your mind, protects your thoughts, that you can rest and rule and know that God is working on your behalf. Your mind is safe in him. The breastplate of righteousness. You're protecting. That righteousness protects your body, protects your heart, your soul. Even where you walk, your feet are protected. Where you're walking is protected in the gospel of peace. Knowing that the gospel protects you as you walk. The word of God protects you as you walk. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You can use that as that. The word of God is the one part of the armor that is your offensive tool. That is which you can fight the enemy back every time. Just as Jesus was tempted, every temptation that Satan gave him, Jesus responded with the word of God. Everything that the enemy can say or try to do, you can respond with the word of God to push him back to where he belongs, to the depths of hell where he comes from. And standing with the shield of faith, that shield, before it gets anywhere near you, your faith lets you know that you are already protected. You are already victorious. There's nothing the enemy can throw at you that can actually hurt you, that can damage you more than that's stronger than the power of God. That's what the shield of faith is about. I mean, wow, if you just were to close your eyes and imagine that as your faith stands strong, as you stand strong in your faith, there's something in front of you, this invisible wall that's just blocking everything that the enemy can throw at you. Because in your faith, you know that you are already victorious. You know that you have already won that battle. You have already won that fight standing with God. That's just something so powerful. I mean, we look at things and I'm going to speak to you, those who don't know the word. Sometimes when we are in that carnal existence, when we haven't understood who God is, when we don't know, and you hear Christians saying this and saying that, it sounds cliche, but the application of these words to your life is what makes the difference. The application of it is what makes the difference. Applying that you can stand with the shield of faith, applying faith to your life, knowing that you'll make it through each and every battle. Standing with the breastplate of righteousness, standing in righteousness, knowing that you are protected by the word of God. You are protected by the will of God. You are protected by God himself in all things, that you are never defeated. Applying that is the difference. Using that is the difference. Just like Deacon Farr said, you can't go on the football field and start running up and down the field without protection. You apply that. You actually put it on and utilize. That's the difference. You can hold it in your hands on the sideline. You can run on the field and get broken down. Or you can put it on and walk strong with it, knowing that it works, knowing that you have it, knowing that it's made for you and fitted for you, for your life, for your situation. That's about application. Back to you, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And we have to remember, God had never intended us to live spiritually defeated. I think that's the first thing we have to understand. And then again, when we talk about defeat, we don't look at defeat or success as the world does. We look at what the Word of God says and how God sees our success and defeats. Because again, He is in control. He's in control of every part of our life. He's in control of our circumstances. But are we faithful and obedient to what God is using us for? Again, if we look at Scripture, we look at the men of God in Scripture and how they were used for a reason. There's a reason why we have 66 books of the Bible. We have all kinds of different personalities and men who were used by God. Some were disobedient, and they were used by God. Some were obedient and were used by God. Some of them fell. Some of them got back up. Some of them, you know, they did a lot of different things. There's a lot of different characters in the Scripture. And somewhere in there you can find yourself or find what you're going through. And then also, let me say this is very important, too. We can find our brothers around us in Scripture because the things they're doing is nothing that wasn't already done by other brothers. You don't think Abraham was alone. You don't think Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, three generations of men who were just, they had their own issues they were dealing with, but yet God used them. David had, let me think real quick, three sons. One of them tried to kill him. And then his son Solomon from the woman that, you know, whatever, you know, he ended up being king, but then he had his own issues. There ain't no way a man can have, 700 wives and concubines or 700 wives and 300 concubines, something. It's like 1,000 women. But anyway, he had struggles and issues, but he was used for a purpose to build the temple that his father didn't build. Again, you have to read Scripture for yourself and look at it more deeper than taking verses and cliches and trying to live off of pieces of the Word instead of in going in deep into the Word. Again, let me say this. Bro, I'm going to come to you for closing in prayer, but I just want to close out saying this. God never intended you to live spiritually defeated. And my prayer, as we do Issues Christian Event Talk, as we do the Man Up events, is that you take these opportunities and resources to help grow in your faith, that you might be able to stand. You have a responsibility to yourself, your family, those around you, and a responsibility to God, who saved you and sent His Son to die for you. And now, what are you going to do? Are you going to be obedient to the call He has on your life? Because I don't know what God has for your life, but He does, and He's going to let you know through your obedience. Bruh, thank you again for joining me this morning, getting up a little bit early, and I appreciate you, bruh. So I'm going to let you have the final closing statement and then close us out in prayer. And God bless you, man. Have a good week, and we'll talk soon.
God bless you as well, sir. And to all of the listeners, to all those on the web, those on the phone, everybody listening, I just pray that you realize as men, as just children of God, that we all have a strength within us beyond the understanding of this world. And when we tap into that, when we connect with God, life looks a whole different way. Life looks very different. We have a different understanding. And I pray that as we go through, don't think that we're not going through issues, we're not going through problems. Just because you reach that place of salvation, that life just becomes this white picket fence. No, there's still struggles. But in those struggles, we understand there's a different level of strength within us to get past those very struggles, to deal with those tests so that we have a testimony that we can share with somebody else. Because sometimes our tests, our situation, aren't just about us. It's about showing someone else the power of God. We go through to get to you. We go through so that someone else can understand and see who God is. I just pray that as we're all being used and used in different ways, in different levels in our lives, in different walks, in different places in that walk, I just pray that we're all touched and understand that God is using us and that God has already made us and created us as victorious overcomers. See the strength within you and move forward on what God has for you. Father God, we honor you and bless you, Lord God. We thank you for another time, Lord God, that as we join, Lord God, we're learning more of you and thus learning more about ourselves, Lord God. Continue to pour into us, Lord God, as we stand as your willing and able servants. We thank you, Lord God, for all that you are doing, what you did yesterday, what you're doing today, and what you will continue to do tomorrow in our lives as we grow closer and closer to you. with a desire to serve you and serve you in a mighty way. We thank you, Lord God, for everyone, Lord God. We thank you for all the things that we go through, for the tests, the blessings. We thank you for where we are in our lives and where you are taking us to. We praise the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.